Good morning. I'm going to talk this morning about the potential impact of measurement error arising from imperfect diagnostic tests for chlamydia using some data from our STD surveillance systems within England. And thank you to my co-authors, Gwenda Hughes and Dr. Vivian James from Public Health England. So the background to this work is that the number of chlamydia diagnoses made in STD clinics in England has increased substantially over the last decade. It's often assumed that any increases in diagnoses are caused by increases in transmission. However, it's really important to remember that factors other than transmission that affect diagnoses have also changed during this same period. One of these important changes is developments in test technologies. So in England, in the late 1990s and early 2000s, the main diagnostic tests used for chlamydia testing were enzyme immunosorbent assays, or EIAs. These have a sensitivity in the region of 70% and a specificity of around 95%. Now, developments in testing technologies meant that nucleic acid amplification tests, or NATs, became more widely available in the early 2000s, and these gradually replaced EIAs in England as the tests used in routine clinical practice, especially following the injection of capital funding in around the mid-2000s. And these tests are obviously much more sensitive and specific, with a sensitivity in the region of 95% and upwards, and specificity around 99%. And several commercial assays are available. So in terms of chlamydia diagnostics, it's obviously very important the choice of diagnostic test is very important. Tests with imperfect sensitivity or specificity will result in a misclassification of infected and non-infected individuals, meaning that tests with imperfect sensitivity will result in false negatives, and tests with imperfect specificity will result in false positives. This is obviously very important for individuals and individual clinical management, but imperfect tests can also affect surveillance data and interpretation of those data, and it's that which I'm going to concentrate on this morning. So the aim of this piece of work was to investigate the potential effect of changes in test technologies on our interpretation of trends in chlamydia diagnoses from STD clinics in England between 2003 and 2012. The data source for this was our routine surveillance data from STD clinics, and we combined data on chlamydia tests and diagnoses, and for this analysis we grouped men and women and all ages together for the period 2003 to 2012. We then wanted to adjust the number of diagnoses seen to see what we would have seen if we'd have used a perfect diagnostic test throughout this period. Now, in order to do this, it's possible, if the sensitivity and specificity of a diagnostic test is known, to apply a simple formula as set out on the slide in order to adjust the number of diagnoses seen and the observed positivity to allow for misclassification and therefore demonstrate the number of diagnoses that would have been seen if a perfect test had been used. In order to do this with our data, we needed to apply a few assumptions. Now, we don't know the exact diagnostic tests which have been used over the whole period, as this data isn't included in our routine surveillance systems. However, we do have data in the UK from our National Lab Accreditation Service on the proportion of laboratories which reported quality assessments on different types of testing technologies. And as you can see in this slide, the proportion of tests performed using EIAs fell from 2003 to 2007, and the proportion using NATs increased from 2003 up to 2008, and since then all public laboratories have been using NATs for diagnostic testing and for screening. We took this distribution and calculated a weighted sensitivity and specificity to our data in order to apply the formula previously set out on the slide. So, for example, in 2005, when there was a mix of EIAs and NATs being used, we assumed that 44% of the tests had the performance characteristics of EIAs and 56% had the test characteristics of NATs. The second part of this problem is that EIAs and NATs, indeed, we don't know the exact sensitivity and specificity of these diagnostic tests. This is partly due to variation in the different assays used, but also because there is an absence of a uniform and perfect gold standard for chlamydia diagnostics. So for this piece of work, in order to look at a range of different scenarios, we applied a plausible range of values from the literature for the sensitivity and specificity of EIAs and NATs. And the values that we used are set out on the slide. So just before showing you the results, I wanted to walk through just a little bit of how this adjustment works in practice. So here we have our number of diagnoses from 2003 to 2012, and this is our observed data shown in the blue bars. So what would happen if we adjust for the sensitivity, the imperfect sensitivity of the EIA test seen in the early years? So as you can see here in the red bars, these are the number of diagnoses that would have been observed if a perfect test had been used, assuming that the EIA test used in the early years had a sensitivity of 70%. So as you can see, that affects those data in those early years where EIA tests were used. We can also adjust for specificity. So let's see what happens when we do that. And in this case, the direction of measurement error goes in the opposite direction due to the false positives that occur with imperfect specificity. When you apply the two adjustments together, so in this scenario, assuming a sensitivity for EIAs of 70% and a specificity of 95%, you can see that some of that measurement error cancels each other out, and we have the observed number of diagnoses is slightly higher than would have been observed had a perfect test been used. We just need to pause a little bit here, though, and remember that it's not just test technologies that make a difference to interpretation of data from surveillance trends, and we need to consider the denominator involved in these data. So between 2003 and 2012, there's been a substantial increase in the number of tests carried out in STD clinics in England. As shown by the red line, this increased over the period when we also saw the increase in diagnoses. So accounting for this testing volume, we can calculate the test positivity, the number of diagnoses divided by the number of tests. And we can see that after taking the test volume into account, the proportion testing positive over this period fell consistently from 2003 to 2012. So that we can then adjust our positivity data, taking into account the sensitivity and specificity values that we used, in order to look at the range of plausible values that would be consistent with the potential ranges of sensitivity and specificity for EIAs and NATs. So I'm just going to take a moment to go through this slide a little bit. So you can see that we have the observed positivity still there on the blue dashed line is falling from 2003 to 2012. On the right-hand side in the figure, we have the proportion, the estimated sensitivity and specificity for EIAs and NATs, which has been used, and these are the plausible ranges. And there's a couple of things to note. So on the orange shaded area, then shows all of the positivities that are consistent with these plausible ranges. And as you can see on the left-hand side, in the early years where the EIAs were used, which were the less accurate diagnostic tests, the range of positivity values that's consistent with those plausible ranges is quite considerable. And we have a considerable range of uncertainty around those early years. The other thing to note is also because of the importance of sensitivity and specificity, the positivity, the relationship between observed positivity and the potential actual positivity after adjustment goes in both directions, and that we could have both over and underestimated our number of diagnoses in our surveillance data. As the higher proportion of tests that are used in NATs, which obviously are the more precise and more accurate tests used, the amount of measurement error reduces in those later years. So there are some limitations with this data for this exercise. The exact tests used in practice are not known, as I mentioned. It may well have been that there was some further confirmation of EIA tests which would have led to a higher specificity in practice. The exact sensitivity and specificity of the actual tests are not known, and sensitivity and specificity does vary by assay. Also, these data only represent diagnoses made in STD clinics. And these data do not take account of age or gender, so you might see some different trends if looking in different age groups or gender, given the different profiles in terms of testing and diagnosis patterns by demographics. But the principles in terms of the potential measurement error introduced by imperfect diagnostics would apply across those groups. Also, it's important to remember that crude and adjusted positivity estimates do not represent the proportion of do not represent population prevalence, as data are only available from those tested. So in conclusion then, our findings highlight the importance, this piece of work illustrates the importance of incorporating information on test performance and testing volume when interpreting trends in surveillance data, and that both sensitivity and specificity can affect trends in diagnoses and positivity. This is especially relevant in settings where lower performance tests are used, or in settings where there have been changes in test technologies over the period of interest, as there have been in the UK. I'd just like to acknowledge my colleagues David Mesher and Dr. Lizzie Tironi at Public Health England and CDC, as well as my co-authors, for their contribution to this. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. That was fantastic. It's interesting to see specificity taken into account in looking at this question of what changing test technologies do. I think we often think about the sensitivity issue and not so often the specificity. That's very interesting. Are there any questions from the floor? We have 2 minutes. I can come to you with the mic. Okay, we'll move on to the next one. Thank you.